working power in the precious blood. It's in the precious blood. It's in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. God is good. Today, Brother Dyke is going to bring the word. And I'll tell you what, there's any one thing I liked about Darren. He had some rough edges. But this part has been true the whole time I've known him. He is 100% Jesus on the inside and Jesus on the out. Amen. Praise the Lord. He loves Jesus. Amen. He's one God, Jesus' name, apostolic from his toenails to his top of his head. Amen. God bless you, Brother Dyke.
Praise the Lord.
Say the word.
Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Okay. Pastor said he's going to go help Sister Greeley. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we could stand together, we're going to go to the word. Amen. And just one quick verse of scripture in Mark chapter 9, verse 27. Amen. I like a pastor that leads by example. I guarantee he's not going to have to help next week. Somebody's going to step up and help him. Right? He went out. He said, somebody needs to help Sister Greeley. I'm going to go help Sister Greeley. Well, plus it's their anniversary, so he wants to spend time with her. That's all right. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to keep you very long. Amen. Mark chapter 9, verse 27. It says, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Amen. Can we pray? Jesus, have your way, Lord God, today. Bless us, Lord Jesus, in this house, Lord God. Each and every one of us want to be lifted up by you, God. Each and every one of us want to be picked up by you, Lord Jesus. We want to arise today, Lord God. Have your way within us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, God. Bless us and anoint us in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Psalm 40, verse 2 says, well, let me give you my title. My title is Arise, Arise. Can somebody say Arise? Arise. Arise. Amen. Psalm 40, verse 2 says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Amen. I think about my past. I think about what God did for me. Amen. But he, just like the psalmist said, he brought me up also. He brought me up also. And each and every one of us in this place today, amen, if you're a saved, sanctified child of God, you can say that. You can lift up your hand and say, he brought me up also. Amen. He, at some point, he grabbed you by the hand. Amen. And he pulled you and lifted you up out of that miry clay, out of that mess that you were in. Amen. He reached out, amen, with all of his strength and with all of his power. And God brought me up also. Amen. He, if you haven't been lifted up, if you haven't experienced the power of the Holy Ghost, if you haven't had your sins washed away in baptism, let me tell you today, right here at the start, God can lift you up too. God can bring you out. God can make you new. He can set your feet on a solid rock today. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let me slow down just a little bit. I want to teach you guys something today. Amen. There's a term called anthropomorphism. Anybody heard about that? I know it's a complicated word. Brother Andre, he's been studying. He's a minister. He's like, I heard of that. Basically what it is when, you know, it's a literary device. It's when somebody's writing and this term actually specifically applies to God only. And so what it means is it means when the writers use human characteristics like physical form, like the scripture says the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Well, if God is all eyes and the eyes are in every place, then the eyes must be omnipresent, right? No. The eyes are describing something in a human characteristic, in a physical form of our bodies. And he used emotions. He used characteristics like an arm or a hand. Amen. Something like a just a, any body part. But it's called, and I'll say it again, anthropomorphism. Somebody try to say it. I said it slow so we could try to get it. That's all right. You could Google it later. Look it up. But there's scriptures like Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, that says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Right? So it's using an emotional term, and it's using the human characteristic of a heart, so that we can understand how God felt about this. Right? But God is not all a heart, or all eyes, or all a hand, right? He's not all, you know, simplified down to those things. No, God is an omnipresent spirit. God is a spirit that is in every place, all at once. And God was all the time using these terms, these descriptions, to get people to respond. But it's just a phrase, it's a literary term. But one of my favorite anthropomorphisms is the one about the mighty hand of God and the stretched out arm. Mighty hand and stretched out arm. And he uses this when he describes the deliverance of his people from Exodus. And so you get this picture in your mind of these people that are beaten down by over 400 years of slavery. They're beaten down in this position of servitude and in chains and in shackles. And then you get this picture in your mind of this arm maybe reaching out from heaven, this mighty hand and this stretched out arm reaching towards those people. And at the very base of that hand is Moses. And God's kind of calling the shots behind all the things that Moses did and all the signs and wonders that were performed. So God, through many signs and wonders, showed his raw power and his mighty hand and his stretched out arm to deliver his people from Egypt. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 17 says, "If thou shalt say in thine heart, 'These nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? How can I ever be delivered from these nations that are more than me?'" When you looked around at the people in Israel, yeah, there was several million Israelites that walked out of Egypt and walked in to possess the land of promise. But when they got there, there were the Ites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, all of the Canaanites and all of the Perizzites and all the Ites people were there. And the populations of those nations were greater than the children of Israel. And so they walked just a single nation. They said, "We can't even take one nation, God." And doubt became present in their heart and in their life. And we saw what happened, how the spies went in and came back with an evil report. They had seen how great those nations were, and they had doubt and fear. Can we ever go in and possess that land? Can we ever push out these enemies, forces that are surrounding us, that are more and mightier than we? And here, verse number 18, Deuteronomy 7, 18 says, "Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shalt the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid, with a mighty hand and with a stretch out arm. God brought deliverance to his people. And he's still doing it today. He's still doing it today. You know, God could deliver them from the slavery and bondage from Egypt. God could deliver them from the trouble and turmoil of many nations that were mightier than them. But when it came to sin, there's a shift in the scriptures. When it came to the prophecy of salvation, there was a shift in the scriptures where it was no longer anthropomorphic. It was no longer talking about something that was in place of another. But he said that I am going to save you. I am going to deliver you. I am going to bring salvation to you. So we look over in Isaiah chapter 16. Amen. When it came to sin, signs and wonders weren't going to do. When it came to sin and the bondage of sin that we were in, just a sign or just a fire or just smoke or just clouds, they weren't going to do. It had to be God bringing salvation to his people by himself. Amen. In Isaiah 59 verse 16, he says, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him. And his righteousness, it sustained him. Amen. See, it was going to be a shift where it was no longer just the stretched out arm, no longer just the mighty hand. Amen. But he himself would come and bring salvation to his people. Amen. He himself would be made manifest, and he himself would die for the sins of Israel and for all the people of the world. Amen. There was no one else that could reach out. No one else that could reach down and save us. Amen. And so he brought salvation himself. Isaiah 63:5 says, and I looked, and there was none to help. There was none to help. God's looking. He's in heaven. He's the omnipresent spirit. He's looking around. He's looking beside him. He's looking behind him. He's looking in front of him. He looks to the other side. There's none to help. Wow. None to help. So you get this sense of hopelessness. There's none to help. In the verse we read before, he says, he looked, there was no man. There was no intercessor. Amen. This verse says, therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. Amen. His own arm, his own hand, amen. His own arm of flesh, amen, was going to bring salvation to him. Amen. For sin to be redeemed, God had to become flesh. Amen. Isaiah 53:1 says it like this. And I love this passage of scripture because it talks about the arm of the Lord, but it also says there's a revelation involved. This has to be revealed to you that Jesus was the very flesh, amen, that God dwelt in to bring salvation. Jesus was the very flesh that God was made manifest in. There's a revelation involved. Not everybody gets that. Not everybody can understand that, amen, but it's so important because when you get a revelation of who God is, amen, he will change your life. It will change your direction. It will make you a totally new person. It'll change your mind, and it'll change your heart, and it will change your direction. Amen. And it will be the hand of God reaching out, amen, and lifting you up. Praise the Lord. Let's read Isaiah 53:1. It says, who hath believed our report? I love how he says report, as if it's already happened. You don't read there's predictions that they give in the news, but it's not really news, right? It's a prediction. A report is what's already done, what's already as good as done in the scripture, When God says something, it's already as good as done. Amen. When he promises, it's already as good as done. Praise the Lord. So he says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And this is that shift where it goes from being just a literary device to being, it's talking about someone. It's talking about God himself. Amen. Becoming flesh. He says, look, the arm of the Lord's going to be revealed. It says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. With his stripes we are healed. Amen. Not just healed in our mortal body, but healed from our transgressions, healed from our iniquities, healed from the things that kept us bound, healed from the things that kept us in chains. Amen. Healed from the things that only he could break us free from. Amen. See, when it comes to sin, you can't deliver yourself. You can't do good enough to become sin free, amen. You can't be good enough to be free from the chains of sin that keep you bound. You can't be free from that taskmaster of sin that's over your life, amen. But Jesus can reach out, amen, with his strong and mighty hand and with his stretched out arm, and he can lift you up and you can arise, amen. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Give God the glory and praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God. The story behind the verse, my text this morning in Mark chapter 9, it's a story about a desperate father that could not help his son. No one could help his son. Amen. Mark chapter 9, the story begins in verse 17. It says, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could do nothing. They could not. They could not cast him out. Look at this picture of this desperate father. He'd done all he could do. Amen. If I've been a parent now for a little over eight years. And just to see my son struggling, or just to hear the cry of help of one of my children, I will go running and find out what's going on. I'll go running and hear the cry when I hear Rachel's cry for some reason. Amen. It just makes my blood pressure go up, and I have to go find out what's happening. But you can imagine this father where all of a sudden his son is acting a little strange, acting out of turn. And all of a sudden he sees his son, and his son's foaming at the mouth, and there's a tearing that's happening, and he's gnashing his teeth and he's pining away. I try to sit at the dinner table and make sure my kids eat. Keep eating. I keep telling them, it's like I say on a broken record, eat your food, eat your food, eat your food, right? How many has said that to your children? Eat your food. Yeah, because you don't want them to be hurt. She's looking at her kid. I love that. Praise the Lord. Praise God. But he's getting weak. He's pining away. What are we going to do? He looks malnourished, and he probably went to the doctors. He probably said, what's going on with this? He probably went to the priests. And then come the disciples, and he hears about the miracles Jesus is doing. He hears about the things that are going on, And he says, well, maybe if I can go to the disciples that they'll be able to do something about it. And Jesus tells him later, this kind comes out only by prayer and by fasting. And we're doing our fasting this month. And so pray and fast so that you could be aligned with God's Spirit. Amen. So that you could be ready to act whenever God needs you to act in some of these situations. But that wasn't good enough for the moment. The disciples couldn't do anything. And verse 19 says, and he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. You know, the first three questions that Jesus asks, it's like Jesus doesn't feel like dealing with this right now. And he's talking not just to the Father, but he's also mentioning this about the disciples. Why are the disciples not aligned with me? Why are the people not aligned with me to where they can do these things? I have already given them power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. What is going on? Amen. And he says, bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell to the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Amen. You can imagine this father so desperate that he doesn't even want to have this conversation with Jesus. He says, you got to do something, God. And he's got tears in his eyes. You got to do something for my child, Jesus. You need to heal him. You need to take this away from him. Look what's happening right now. He's foaming at the mouth and he's tearing himself and he's wallowing on the ground. Amen. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. That went from bad to worse. The father's looking at his child. Jesus rebukes the spirit. And it looks like his child is dead. Man, the father was already saying, help my unbelief. And here this child's laying there as if he's dead. Jesus, this evil spirit that seemed to possess this child seemed like he had more power than normal, as well as being extremely harmful and destructive to the boy. This may be the reason that Jesus' disciples could not cast him out. This eviction, this casting out needed something more powerful, something stronger. This miracle needed the mighty arm of the one that was stronger than the strong. It needed the stretched out hand of the one that was mightier than the mighty. Amen. It needed Jesus, amen, to use all of his power and all of his authority and command the spirit. The words spoken by Jesus are powerful. They're severe. They're authoritative. He rebuked the unclean spirit. Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I command thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Even then, the evil spirit left violently, so violently that the boy looked like he was dead. Then we come to the text. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Amen. It does not matter how big your problem is. It doesn't matter how severe or how powerful the enemy is working against you. If you'll just reach up and take the hand of Jesus, he will lift you up. He will lift you up. Amen. Can we just lift up our hands right now in this place and cry out to the Lord? Oh God, right now. Praise the Lord. Your problems are not too heavy for Jesus to lift them. Amen. You can arise just like this child and be free. Amen. You can arise. Amen. Somebody say arise. I want to rise up today. Jesus is telling us to arise up. Amen. Arise. Come out. Amen. Be free from all of the things that have held you back. Amen. You can arise and follow Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. Amen. And I find this pretty neat because Matthew is writing about how he came to Jesus in the third person. So he says, and as Jesus passed forth and from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Amen. See, Matthew was a tax collector. Amen. He's somebody that nobody wanted to meet with. Right? Tax time's coming. I got our W-2s the other day. I don't want to go see the tax people. Tax time's coming. It's like, we got to deal with that again? I thought I did that last year. Yeah, you got to make an appointment. Nobody wants to talk to a tax collector. But Jesus wanted to, good point. He said, just do it online. TurboTax, don't you know about that? Thank you, Ben. Amen. Nobody wants to talk to a tax collector. But Jesus wanted to talk to a tax collector. Jesus wanted to tell the tax collector that didn't have any friends, come and follow me. And he arose. It doesn't matter what your background is. Jesus can take you by the hand and lift you up, and you can arise. Amen. I'm glad it doesn't matter what the background is. Amen. Some of our backgrounds, we don't even want to talk about. My sister's church, they're close to LA, and Pastor Frazier, they'll have testimony service sometimes. And, you know, they wear long sleeves and they're very conservative. They wear long sleeves all the time. But, you know, if you roll up those sleeves, they're covered in tattoos. And they're gang tattoos. And that's why they wear the long shirts, because they don't want to cause problems. And so sometimes they'll have testimony service. And they'll start out with, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You can't tell it like I can tell it what the Lord has done for me. So somebody will get up and they'll start telling, oh no, you don't know how much God has done for me. And they'll begin to talk about how they were in a gang life and how some of them had murdered people and they had done this and they'd done that, and they've been involved in drive-bys, and they've been involved in all kinds of criminal activity. And then that person will sit down and say, that's not anything. That's nothing. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Amen. You can't tell it like I can tell it what the Lord has done for me. And they'll go on and on and on. It does not matter what your background is. God wants to move in your life. God wants to change your life. God wants to change your background. Amen. And take that background and make it into a miracle. Amen. I'll say that again. He wants to take that background and make it into a miracle. Amen. Because when you start talking about where the Lord brought you from, amen, the only thing that you can do is give glory to God. The only thing you can do is give Jesus more praise. Amen. The only thing you can do is talk about how good God has been to you. Amen. Say, God didn't deliver me from all that stuff. I was raised in church. I grew up on the pew. That's the greatest miracle of all. That God spared you from all that lifestyle of sin. God spared you from all that destruction. God spared you from all that trouble. That's the greatest miracle of all. Amen. And when we start talking about how God raised up a child in the church, amen, and they never went astray, and how God has blessed them their whole life to follow God, we ought to rejoice more than ever before. Amen. Matter of fact, let's stand to our feet and give God the praise. Amen. For all those that He kept out of sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't want our kids to go through that mess. We don't want our loved ones to go through that mess. Amen. So we can give glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You can not only can you arise from any background, amen, but you can also arise and be made whole from any condition. Amen. Luke chapter 6 verse 8 says Jesus knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto him, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" And looking around about upon them all, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Amen. You might say, "Well, you don't know my condition. You don't know how long I've had this in my life." You may have had your condition your whole life. You may have grown up with your condition or your problem or your sickness, amen, or your disease or your illness, whatever it might be, amen. That might be something that you just became normal in your life. And you just said, "Well, I'm living with it. I'm living with pain. I'm living with this deformity. I'm living with this issue. I'm living with this problem." And it became normal in your life. Amen. But Jesus doesn't just do normal. Amen. He does things that are supernatural. Amen. He does things that are beyond normal. Amen. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your condition. Jesus can take you by that hand and lift you up, and you can arise. Amen. If there's anybody here today that's been dealing with sickness in your body, that's been dealing with some sort of condition, amen, that you have hidden or you have dealt with for a long time, just lift up your hands. Close your eyes and lift up your hands. Amen. And ask God right now, "God, would you do a miracle in my life? God, would you take me by the hand, Lord God, and lift me up, Lord Jesus?" Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. There's others that have their hands lifted up. Amen. Would you pray for them? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Amen. The haters, the distractors, the naysayer, they'll say you can't be lifted up. They'll say, "Don't you know it's 2023? Jesus has been gone too long." But the truth is, Jesus ascended into heaven, but he sent his Spirit to us. And he promised, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Amen. Jesus is still commanding us to arise today. To arise, even through His Spirit. Amen. Arise. Hallelujah. Amen. You came too late to tell me that Jesus can't pick me up. Amen. I've already been lifted up. I've already been set on the right path. I've already been making my way towards God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Say, well, how can I be lifted up? How can I? All right, that's a fair question. Amen. But are you really ready to hear the answer? All right. To be lifted up, you have to submit your own strength and your own will to the strength and the will of God. Let's look in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Look what it says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He didn't say cast some of your cares upon him. You've got to submit your whole will, your whole strength, everything. You've got to submit it to God. You say, how can I get up? By becoming low. You have to be under the hand of God for the hand to lift you higher. Amen. Submit yourselves. Look at James chapter 4. This verse goes right along with this. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. We sing that song, you have turned my mourning into dancing. You've turned my sorrow into joy. Amen. Sometimes it's appropriate for you to weep and for you to mourn. Especially if you're lost. Especially if you're living in sin. Especially if you have no hope in this world of getting out of the mess you're in. It's appropriate at that moment for you to shed some tears. It's appropriate for you to turn your joy into sorrow. You don't want to go with a happy, you know, smile on your face on your way to hell. No. Don't be double-minded. Amen. Make up your mind today. I'm going to submit myself to whatever God wants me to do. Whatever he wants me to do. I'm willing. I want to do it. Amen. You got to make up your mind before you get into a problem, whether you're going to serve God or not. Before you face temptation, whether or not you're going to serve God. Don't wait till you get to the temptation to try to make up your mind then. Make up your mind today. No matter what the struggle. No matter what the trial. No matter what situation. No matter what condition. I'm going to submit my strength. I'm going to submit my will to the will of God. You know, could it be that our resistance to the submission that God wants us to be in is what's hindering our deliverance? I think that's absolutely the case. Our failure to submit ourselves to his will is what's stopping us from being delivered completely. Amen. So it's because of my pride. It's because of my refusal to be humble that I cannot arise and be in the place where God wants me to be, to do what God wants me to do. Amen. To be the representative that God wants me to be. To the lost and dying world around me. Amen. That's a very, very important question we've got to answer. Am I doing all I can to submit myself to the will of God? Amen. You might ask yourself, why can't I escape sin? Why do I keep messing up? Why do I keep falling down? Why can't I stand firm on my own? Amen. Well, Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says this. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When we were yet without strength, when we couldn't get up on our own, when we don't have the strength to stand up on our own, Can you help me out, Josiah? Or Joseph, whichever one you are. I'm sorry. I get this wrong every time. Come up here, man. Sit down on the floor right here, facing me. Yeah. There you go. All right. Just look at this. Let's just say that you don't have your own strength to stand. You can't get up on your own. You have no strength in your arms or your legs, okay? Play with me here for a second, okay? No strength in your arms or legs, all right? You can't get up. You can't. Let me just say this. I want you to get up without using your arms or legs. Go ahead. You don't have any strength. Come on. Figure it out, man. Here you go.
No, I can't because, like, my legs don't work and I don't have, like, balance.
Okay, I get it. So you don't have strength to stand up on your own if you have no strength to stand up on your own, right? But what if I reach out my hand to you? All right, you can't use your arms or legs. Come on up with me. Come on, ready? One, come up with me. There you go. We need somebody stronger than us. We need somebody mightier than us to lift us up, to pick us up. Amen. When we don't have any strength of our own, when we cannot stand on our own, amen, that's when we need Jesus to reach out his hand and lift us up. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Then lift us up. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I know that's just a simple demonstration, but that's what we have to do. We have to yield ourselves to God's power. I was going to try Ben, but I don't know if I can pick you up, Ben. Praise the Lord. Jesus can, though. Amen. Praise God. When we didn't have the strength on our own, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. Romans 5:7 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." When we were yet without strength, when I couldn't get up on my own, when I couldn't stand up on my own two feet, amen, God reached out his hand and picked me up. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand with me right now? Praise the Lord. If we could come to the music, amen. Praise the Lord. In just a couple of minutes here, we're going to turn this entire sanctuary into an altar. All right? I know some people don't like to come up and stand up here at the front. So guess what? We're going to come to you. Amen? What I want to do now is I want you to take a minute and think about someone right that's here today, that's here in the sanctuary with you, that's been on your heart, all right? Be thinking about that, because here in a minute, I want you to pray with that person. I want you to go find them and pray for them. Amen. Especially our guests, those that have come, we want to pray with you. Amen. So I'm telling you this now. Kids, you can pray with young people, pray with young people. Amen. Adults, pray with adults. Husbands, amen, pray with your wives. Or ladies, pray with ladies. Or men, pray with men. Amen. Somebody, everybody here, I'd like you to think of somebody that God wants to use you to reach out. Amen. And help lift up. Is that all right? All right, good. Praise the Lord. You know, it's not about how many times you've fallen down. It's not about how many times you've failed. Amen. But it's about how many times you rise up again. Hallelujah. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." No matter how many times you've failed, no matter how many times Jesus has to reach out and pick you up again, He wants to do it. Amen. If you'll just reach up and you'll just submit yourself to the strength and power and the mighty hand of Jesus, He will take you by the hand and lift you up. Micah 7:7 says, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Amen. Whenever I fall, whenever I fail, whenever I'm down on the ground, amen, God wants to reach out His hand and lift me up, and He wants me to arise today. Amen. Right now, if we could just begin to lift up our hands all across this building, lift up your hands right now. Right now is when you should go pray for that person, amen, that's been on your heart. Find somebody to pray with. Hallelujah. But we want to be lifted up together. Hallelujah, Jesus. Find somewhere to pray. Come to the altar if you want to, but find somebody to pray with today. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to be lifted up, God. Hallelujah, Lord. If you want, bring somebody up here to the altar with you. Find somebody to pray with right now. Jesus, Lord, right now, God. Hallelujah. We're lifting up our hands, God. We want to be picked up, Jesus. We want to be picked up by You, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I thank You, God. I praise You, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God, there's so many needs here in the house today, God. So many lives, Lord God, that You want to change, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I love You. I praise You, Lord Jesus. Amen. Pray with your sisters. Pray with your brothers. Hallelujah. Lord God, fill them with the Holy Ghost today. Oh, glory, glory, glory. God, I love You and appreciate You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. God, I love You and worship You,
Lord,
Jesus.
I come
thank You, Lord. Thank
to
You, Lord.
Lift up Your name.
Oh, I lift up my hands to You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lord, I come to give
You oh, be lifted up today.
Praise.
Arise today. Hallelujah.
For You, Lord.
Oh, You're worthy, God. You're worthy.
Of all the honor and the glory. Lord, I come. Up Your name, Lord, I come to lift up Your name, Lord, I come to give You all my praise, for You alone are worthy of all the honor and the glory. Lord, I come to lift up Your name. Oh, Lord, I come to lift up Your name.
Jesus, I come.
Lord, I come to give You all my praise. For You all the honor and the glory. Lord, I come
just
to lift up Your name. Lord, I come to lift up Your name. Lord, I come to give You all my all the honor and all glory. Lord, I come to lift up your name.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's exactly what I needed today. Amen. That's exactly what I needed today. Amen. God picking us up. Amen. We're going to make it. Praise the Lord. Look at somebody, say, you're going to make it. Tell somebody else, you're going to make it. Hallelujah. Not I can, not maybe, not sometimes. Amen. But I'm going to make it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we have some a special cake. You didn't see the cake, did you? Good. Okay. Did Mom see it? All right. Give us like 10 minutes and we're going to go back there. They've got a classroom back there, so we're going to have to shift over. Give us like, they're done in the back. Okay, so yeah, if some of you men can go back there, amen. Somebody run back there and direct traffic, Sister Alyssa, amen. Let's pray right now. God bless us. Lord, bless this time, Lord God, of fellowship, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for 40 years, God, of marriage, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, what a light, what a testimony, Lord Jesus, to what you can do, God. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us in this service with your presence, Lord God, with your word, Lord Jesus. We love and appreciate you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Give them a few minutes and then we can start trickling back there. God bless you. You're dismissed. In Jesus' name.